Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio. Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belleville.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome, everybody. It's hour two, Toker Talk Radio. The talk radio program by, for, and about the cannabis community. We are live from beautiful legal Potland, Oregon, at the new Delta 9 Studios in the southeast of the city. I love our new location. Everything I need is within walking distance. 8 blocks one way or the other. There's a Dairy Queen. Oh, there's a Dairy Queen just 5 blocks away. Gotta love the blizzard, folks. Gotta love the blizzard. Oh, yeah, and a Taco Bell 5 blocks the other direction. So you got, you know, gastronomic disasters on both sides. Oh, it's so fun, though. Delta 9 Studios is really taking off, and I was talking to the folks yesterday and reminding y'all that it's my goal for the start of 2017 to be back on video, get the show back up on YouTube. I've got, in this new Delta 9 Studios, we're also housed with my partner from the weednews.co site. If you haven't been following weednews.co, it's the fastest growing cannabis information site on the internet. We've got the stats to prove it. And you watch, folks. By summer, oh my God, weednews.co is going to definitely be in the top 5 or 6 marijuana sites on the net. You watch. Anyway, you can catch up with my latest writing almost daily. I haven't been so good about it lately, but almost daily writing on weednews.co. And also, my partner, Johnny Green. If you've ever followed Johnny Green, the man, like, I get a lot of compliments from folks on my production, right? I was like, man, you're so prolific. You write so much, man. You got 2 articles a week, and you got all these blog posts and all these comments and the Twitter account, Facebook, and you're doing 2 hours a day of a cannabis show, and you're traveling all over the country. Oh, my God, you do so much. You're the argument against a motivational syndrome, blah, blah, blah. Thank you. I appreciate that. But my hat's off to Johnny Green. Johnny Green puts out more content than I do as far as the blog posts go, and is doing that while holding down a full-time day job. Like, he's got a real cubicle-type job that he's got to do and a family with kids, right? Wife and kids. So, you know, me being here at Delta 9, bachelor lifestyle, sitting at my desk, you know, doing my thing, doesn't feel like work when I think about what Johnny's up to. So check it out at weednews.co. You can also catch writing from Anthony Johnson, the man who passed Measure 91 here in Oregon, got us some legal weed. And Miguel, or Miggy 420, is also one of our staff writers. You can check him out. All four of us on weednews.co. And we're also going to get some new writers involved as soon as we can, just as soon as the ad revenue starts to make that possible. Anyway, coming up in this second hour, we're taking your calls at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565 if you want to talk about weed or politics or the politics of weed, however you want to do. And coming up, we're going to talk about something I saw some folks talking about in the chat room in hour one. And that is this idea of hard drugs and soft drugs and whether or not we ought to be demonizing the users of either. And we're also going to talk a little bit about science. We love science here. We're going to talk about the pharmaceuticalization of cannabis, the inevitable pharmaceuticalization of cannabis, and what that means for the medical marijuana movement. Also, we'll get into some off-the-warpath politics stuff. Computer scientists are saying we need to take a look at some of the voting machines. There might be some hacking shenanigans going on.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Every strain, every sale, every medical study. Keep it right here on the Cannabis Radio Network.
The cannabis business industry is growing. Business is booming. And as new opportunities arise in newly legalized states, each market is getting more competitive. Today, it takes more than just being a good grower. Do you have the resources to market and handle this ever-changing business landscape? Let Canna Management Corporation help you grow your canna business with our vast resources and experience to make your business a fully functional service company. Financial management, HR, sales, marketing, efficiency, and more. CMC has the experience and the expertise to improve your business and help you better meet the demands of your clients and customers. Call Canna Management Corporation and let our team get you ready to grow. 415-269-8015. That's 415-269-8015. Or visit canna-management.com.
Welcome to Cannabis Confidential. I'm your host, Dr. Dina. We've got David Faustino on the line, Bud Bundy from Married with Children. Did you feel nervous being a celebrity walking into a weed store?
I don't remember at all being like, ooh, I'm scared someone's going to take my picture.
What are they going to say? Bud Bundy smokes bud? I mean, come on.
It wouldn't be a big shocker. Hey, this is David Faustino, and I'm on Cannabis Confidential with my girl Dr. Dina on CannabisRadio.com.
Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. A public service message from CannabisRadio.com and the Russ Belville Show.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Most of us pirates, we go on vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. What are you smoking there, boy?
This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. It's nice to know that they now have medical marijuana in Argusville. Hey, where is Argusville anyway? Is it 40 miles away from one of the major cities? Let's find out. We'll go to the old Google machine here and see what we can find. Because that's part of the law in North Dakota's medical marijuana is it's got one of those halo things that says if you live within 40 miles of a dispensary that you cannot grow your own cannabis as a patient. You've got to go shop at the dispensary. And, of course, North Dakota is a pretty sparse state. And when it comes to nearby cities, there's likely to only be four major cities in North Dakota that are going to have dispensaries. And those cities, of course, would be Fargo, Grand Forks, Bismarck, and Minot. Those are the four major cities, if you can call them cities, in North Dakota. And the Argusville is just north of Fargo. And I think it's close enough that they're not going to be able to grow in that city. Let's just check the directions from Fargo to Argusville. Looks like we got a short drive. Yeah, 16-mile drive. So sorry, Argusville. Y'all aren't going to be able to grow your own marijuana. Wah, wah, wah. Anyway, for today's this segment, I wanted to talk about science. We can get a little talk about science here because we did this story in the first hour about the scientists that are working on cannabis as an exit drug. And they're trying to determine, you know, how it could help to stop craving for cocaine or opioids or alcohol. And the framing of it is what I brought into question. And this, the framing being new pot related drugs rather than just saying, you know, cannabis, could you smoke cannabis and get off the cocaine? No, no, we need to process it into something. Cause that's the paradigm we live under. I've always said that's why medical marijuana is so threatening. It's not because marijuana is this plant that, you know, heals in lots of different ways. It's that it upsets the paradigm that we've got set up for how we deal with medicine in this country. And not just this country, like the whole Western kind of civilization, you know, in comparison to, say, you know, the Eastern, you know, the Chinese and such that were into herbalism and the, you know, Indian culture and so forth. But the Western culture has always been about the need to tame nature, that nature is chaotic, that nature is imperfect, and we can extract and refine and concentrate and make it better through science and artificial creations. And so the whole medical industry is kind of in that paradigm. It goes with this idea that, you know, the willow bark, the salicylic acid that's in the willow bark isn't good enough. You couldn't just make a willow bark tea for someone who's suffering some sort of pain. It's better if we take that out of the willow bark and we process it and we make it into an aspirin pill, which now is not even how they do it, by the way. Right? It's not like there's big willow farms to make aspirin. Now aspirin is made through a synthetic type of salicylic acid, which is made through petroleum products. So you want to know how deep the oil industry goes, understand that about 80% of our pharmaceuticals involve petrochemicals at some point in the process. Keep that in mind. But the this paradigm we have is based on the idea that we have to perfect nature. We have to extract the molecules from these plants and substances and refine them and perfect them and make them consistent. And then we'll have a medicine. Then we'll have something that we can call a drug, a medicine. And the problem with medical marijuana in that is this whole system of these artificial drugs has built itself an industry of doctors and medical schools and pharmacies and pharmacists and all of this bureaucracy, these middlemen necessary to get the healing properties of nature to you. It reminds me of how the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, ran the world for centuries based on this idea that the salvation you seek from the Creator isn't something you can just go to the Creator for. You have to go through these bureaucrats, these middlemen. You got to go to the priest who speaks to the bishop, who speaks to the cardinal, who speaks to the pope, and the pope gets the divine inspiration from God himself, who tells him exactly what the ancient Hebrew tales really mean, or however that works. That was the paradigm for centuries, that you couldn't just gain your salvation on your own. And then the Protestant Reformation happened. He had Martin Luther nail the treatise up on the church door, saying, "No, no, man, I've been reading the Bible. I'm paraphrasing here. I've been reading the Bible. Bible says you can go straight to Jesus. We don't need the Pope. We don't need all these intermediaries. Salvation is something we can attain ourselves through nature itself, through our own existence. And that shook up the world so much, they're still fighting about it. 500 years later, there's still warfare between Christians of Protestant or Catholic denomination. There's still violence going on over that. So the same sort of paradigm is happening with medical marijuana in that we're rejecting this idea that we've got to go through the learned class. We've got to go through the priests and the popes and the special books and all of that to get our salvation. No, we go straight to nature. We don't need the pharmacy. We don't need the guy in the white coat. We don't need the person who went to 7-10 years of medical school and hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt. We don't need that. We can grow this plant in our backyard and heal a whole bunch of things that we've been healing with pills. And not necessarily healing with pills, mind you. Living with pills. That really upsets the whole apple cart. That puts at risk doctors and medical schools and pharmacies and pharmacists and drug companies and the trucking companies that ship those drugs. And just the tendrils reach deep into the economy. That's what's so threatening to some of these people about medical cannabis. But it's not going to be that threatening for long. It's not going to be that threatening for long because the eventual end destination of the pathway of medical marijuana is going to lead back to pharmaceuticals. You know, we point at things like Marinol. We say, it's synthetic THC. It's not even derived from cannabis plants. It's made synthetically. Again, like the aspirin willow bark thing, they're making it synthetically now. But we poo-poo on Marinol and Sesamet and Nabilone, all that stuff, because it's just a single molecule and it doesn't have the entourage effect. You know, we also point that out with the CBD oils, right? It doesn't have the entourage effect. It doesn't have the THC. Doesn't have the terpenes, doesn't have the flavonoids and all the other things that work synergistically to make marijuana such a healing sort of herb. But that's for now, folks. That's just right now. Don't think science isn't going to figure this out. Already you've got guys that are typing the genome for the cannabis plant to be able to find out exactly which genes make this plant different from that plant. Already, we've got scientists that are unlocking the point that indica versus sativa isn't so much the deal as it is, what's the myrcene content? How much myrcene terpene does it have? Above 0.4%, and it seems to flip THC from being that sativa head high to being that indica couch lock. It's not whether it's sativa, it's indica. It just so happens indicas tend to have more myrcene. So what happens is, as science begins to work all this out, as they begin to do all the trials and the double-blind placebo-controlled experiments to figure out exactly how much THC and CBD and CBN and CBG and CBGB and all the rest of the BGs, what levels make it work best for cancer patients? What levels of that, you know, the terpenes, myrcene, limonene, pinene, beta-carophyllene, how much of that in what sort of arrangement makes it work good for Crohn's patients? They're going to figure this out. They're going to get it typed out. They're going to get it nailed down to the point where you could say what condition you have. And they'll say, oh, you've got IBS. Well, what you need is a THC to CBD ratio of at least 20 to 1. You need to have a 0.5 myrcene content or higher. You need to, they'll have that all laid out. And you know, have you ever been to one of these like modern theaters that have the soda machine and you can pick Coke or Sprite or Pepsi, but they've also got like, you can put lemon or you can put in ginger or you can put in, you know, vanilla flavors. And there's like a million different combinations. That's where cannabis is going. I'll take this strain, add some myrcene, pump in some linalool. That's where it's going, folks. Science will eventually beat raw plant marijuana.
Beer, beer.
And then there's always beer. So if science is going to develop the better product than the raw plant cannabis, what excuse will we have to keep the raw plant cannabis if all we're talking about is its medical use? My point is, if you want whole plant cannabis, you got to fight for legalization for all people, not just medical marijuana.
We have your smoking section right here. This is the Cannabis Radio Network. Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase, and it gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman, and I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
The Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Aw, yeah, a little late getting to my safety meeting. Hope you're able to get to your safety meeting. And does anybody know why we call it a safety meeting? Where'd that come from? I know where 420 came from. Don't know about safety meeting. Works for me, though. I like it. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. We're just hanging out here in Delta 9 Studios. And by the way, this Delta 9 Studios is soon to be a 420-friendly Airbnb. And what we're doing here, we got three activists that live in this house. And we all been activists for at least a decade. Yeah, I think maybe I've been activist the longest, actually. But we're all been activists for at least a decade. And we know how difficult it is as activists to be, putting all of the bills together and making enough money to survive. So we're offering this up as a 420 friendly Airbnb for people that might be coming through the Portland area, doing some work with the legal marijuana industry here, coming out to a conference, whatever it might be. And we'll have that listing up pretty soon. But we'll let you know about that. And for the listeners of the Russ Belville Show, we will have a special promotion code so that you can get like 10% off or something like that. And we mean 420 friendly. Actually, we're actually thinking of saying it's 420 mandatory. Like, you can't stay here unless you smoke pot. that might be the rule. But we're really sincere about that. We want to help activists out, and we want to give people a taste of Portland, a taste of legality. So it's not just for activists. I mean, if you're a fan of this show, you're an activist at some level because you're getting yourself educated, and I know you're talking to other people about this stuff. So we're going to call you an activist. And so if you'd like to come out out here to beautiful legal Potland, Oregon, and you're just looking for a place to stay, just let me know, and we'll put it up on the Airbnb, and we'll let you know what the cost is. It won't be much, but definitely be more affordable than a Portland hotel, or if not as affordable as some Portland hotels, at least you can smoke weed and do dabs here. We got a full dab station. We got a full lots of weed, and also a pretty decent bar that we've started up. If you're into the ethyl alcohol, that's starting to happen. So yeah. Anyway, that's our that's the latest development here at Delta 9 Plus. If you stayed here, you could watch the show live. Got a little setup. Got a couple of chairs here for people to check out the show. You can see how exciting it is to watch me talk into a microphone. It's just, it's a thrill a minute. Plus, we'll be bringing back the webcam soon, and we'll have that up on, I think I'll do it on the YouTube Live, although I've heard some good things about Facebook Live. I'm still evaluating my options. Maybe if we have enough guts, we'll do it on both at the same time. That might be cool. All right, let me get to a subject here that was brought up in the first hour. And it was a discussion I saw, and I didn't get the whole discussion, so forgive me if I'm mischaracterizing it, but basically about hard drugs, soft drugs. And, somebody was saying, it's not right to demonize meth. And somebody else was saying, yo, what, meth? Are you kidding? And then so, what about crocodile or whatever that drug is called, creates all the open sores and stuff. And so I wanted to weigh in on this because I think it's in this legalization era, it's something we're going to have to pay close attention to. And that is, it's, in my opinion, wrong to be demonizing other drugs. I always cringe when I hear marijuana reformers say, let's legalize marijuana so police can go after the real drug problems, the real hard drugs. That always bothers me when I hear that, right? Because how is locking up a heroin addict supposed to help? Jail's a lousy rehab, folks. Lousy rehab. The people that are having the problems, and look, let's get this out of the way first. Yes, cannabis is different than all these other drugs. Yes, cannabis does not cause death, and these other drugs do cause death. They can cause death from overdose. Yes, cannabis is only mildly dependence-causing for a very small minority of people, while some of these other drugs can have much higher addictive potential. I do not deny that at all, and I do not deny there is a kind of a designation between hard drugs and soft drugs. Generally speaking, your soft drugs are marijuana, mushrooms, LSD, some of these club drugs, Molly, ecstasy, and so forth. Hard drugs, people generally think of cocaine, heroin, methamphetamine, PCP, drugs that could cause, severe reactions and deep addictions. So that's our disclaimer. Let's start from that point that, yes, I do acknowledge that cannabis is a special deal. Cannabis, it's almost as if there should be soft drugs, hard drugs, and cannabis. Like, cannabis ought to be its own category. It's not even like in the soft drug category. But yeah, all right, let's keep it there just for simplicity's sake. But even acknowledging that this is the fact, I think it's important that we understand that the problem with drugs isn't in the drugs themselves. It's in the person's relationship with them. And those relationships can be bad relationships, just like, somebody can hook up with an abusive spouse or something. But that doesn't make the person who's being abused the bad person, right? The woman who's trapped with the wife-beating husband, she's not a bad person. And neither is the person that's addicted to heroin, who's trapped in that bad, abusive relationship with a drug. They're a victim. They're someone who deserves our compassion, someone who needs some help. And locking them up and demonizing them and making their acts criminal makes it worse. There's nothing about any drug that doesn't get worse by criminalizing it. So that's where I worry about this talk about, well, we need to go after the hard drug users. No, we need to help the hard drug users. And we need not demonize them and help do our opponent's job. See, we've got some special electoral advantages when it comes to pot, just because of the nature of what pot is. So many people have used it that it's hard to demonize now. Not a lot of people have used heroin. So it's easy to say that heroin does all this terrible stuff to people, or meth does all this terrible stuff to people, when so few people have used it and don't know any better. But the facts are that most of the people that use meth and most of the people that use heroin don't have a problem with it. The National Institute on Drug Abuse back me up on this. They'll say even for something like heroin that's got like a 25 to 30% addictiveness potential, or cocaine that's like at 15%, or meth that's at 20, or whatever these numbers are, they're not majorities. If you're telling me 20% of the people get addicted, you're telling me 80% don't. If 30% get addicted, 70% don't. Most of the people that use their drugs just fine. Get up the next day and do their job, or take care of their kids, or whatever they do. So be careful on this. Try not to demonize the users of other drugs, because I think we all agree that criminalizing them isn't beneficial. But cannabis enjoys these electoral benefits. So many people have used it, and it doesn't kill anybody, and its high is relatively mild. So we're able to use things like marijuana is safer than alcohol. And we can drive that home and drive that home, and we can leverage the hypocrisy of treating a terribly harmful, addictive drug like alcohol one way, and then treating cannabis much more harshly. It's an easy case to make. You can't make that case as easily with meth. If we ever get around to the campaign to start decriminalizing meth and treating meth users with some compassion and getting them some help, and when it comes around to the campaign for that, how are we gonna, you can't say, well, meth is safer than alcohol. Well, not really. Both are harmful. I'd argue that alcohol is more harmful, by the way, but you know, that would be a tough case to make politically. But you couldn't make the meth is safer than alcohol case. You couldn't make the, we're going to make a lot of tax revenue for the kids and improve our schools. Because with marijuana, you can at least say, well, look, people are smoking pot. It's not really causing that much harm. Might as well make some taxes off it. But when it comes to meth, you'd be asking people to say, hey, let's get our people addicted to speed so we can have better schools. And, you know, people aren't going to buy that. So let's not help our opponents keep these other drugs prohibited by buying into their framing of the terrible demonization that, you know, these are hard drugs, they must be gone after, they must be eradicated. You know me, I think all drugs should be legal. All drugs should be legal. Now, legal is a spectrum that runs from chocolate to morphine, but they should all be legal. Somebody who wants a substance and wants to put it in their body is going to do so, and making it illegal just makes it more harmful, adds criminal justice penalties, creates crime, violence, and corruption. So even people that want meth ought to have a way to be able to get it. Now, maybe that's more, you know, a scheduled, got to see a doctor kind of thing. Maybe there's some sort of, you know, special oversight on that. But let's not give that market to the criminals who make up meth in a one pot cook in a, like a 2-liter soda bottle in their backpack that blows up somewhere, or funds some Mexican super lab somewhere. People just need to accept that drugs exist, people will do them. And because that creates a demand for drugs, somebody will manufacture them. And all we can do is either regulate that and bring some sort of benefit to society, or we can leave it to the criminals. And we can make these substances more expensive than they ought to be, which leads the people that have the serious addictions to be forced into crimes to be able to pay for their stash. So that's my message for this post-legalization world in the cannabis community, is to start looking at the other drug communities. Start understanding what the issues are with things like naloxone and safe pill testing at raves and clean injection sites that they're using for, you know, heroin and so forth. Get educated on the other drug issues as you are educated on this marijuana issue. Because it's really not about marijuana. Never has been. It's really about personal liberty. It's really about freedom. It's really about what we do to ourselves and whether or not the government has any say in that. And I have always argued, if you can't show me direct harm from what I'm doing to myself, you have no right to try to stop it. All right, we'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll go off the warpath, take a look at this claim of electronic vote hacking in the presidential election. Oh my, shenanigans!
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
HD and THC monetization with CannabisRadio.com. Don't be late.
Mindful of sustainable practices and limiting their environmental footprint, Sansal Hemp is always grown outdoors, as nature intended. By starting with uniform genetic profiles, Sansal ensures the plant will maintain its optimal performance and yield consistently throughout its life cycle. It is through innovative processes that Sansal is able to achieve pure whole hemp extracts and meet industry requirements and the level of quality desired by many of their customers. Healthy plants, healthy people. SansalCBD.com. Improve your lifestyle naturally.
Previously on the Stoner Jesus Show.
St. Peter auditioning to be the Microsoft weed software spokesman.
Hey, this is St. Peter for Microsoft. They track weed. Does that mean they're going to like track the weed? Is that what this is about, Jesus? I'm not going to be tracked, Jesus. I'm not going to have my fucking weed tracked. And I'm not going to have fucking Microsoft track me back to my fucking house through my weed to where they fucking spied on people with that goddamn Xbox camera. Fuck this. Fuck Microsoft. Fuck this bullshit.
The Stoner Jesus Show, live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here? You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 39 after the hour. All right, so, yeah, following out the story, looks like it's failing now. But there's this story that got a lot of play through the mainstream media about the Center for Computer Security and Society believing they had found evidence that the results of the election in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania may have been manipulated or hacked. And this is a story we brought up the other day, where supposedly they held a conference call with the Clinton campaign to say that they found that in Wisconsin, Hillary Clinton received 7% fewer votes in counties that relied on electronic voting machines compared with counties that used optical scanners and paper ballots. Based on the analysis, she maybe have denied 30,000 votes. She lost Wisconsin by 27,000. They say they didn't find any proof of hacking or manipulation, but they say they ought to audit these machines, especially considering the accusations of the Russians being involved in hacking the DNC. Now, even with this theory, it's kind of a long shot because it would need to tip Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and Michigan, which hasn't been decided yet, but that would have to go her way as well. So three of these states would all have to be found to have been improperly hacked, and if those votes were flipped, they'd have to flip enough of them to turn all three of them. And, of course, there's deadlines involved here, too. In Wisconsin, recount deadline's this Friday. Pennsylvania's deadline is Monday, and Michigan's recount deadline is next Wednesday. Now, the follow-up on this, there's been a follow-up by Halderman. Interesting that that's his name. And he's the professor at the security center there. And he's posted just today a blog post that says, "You may have read at New York Magazine that I've been in discussions with the Clinton campaign about whether it might wish to seek recounts in critical states. That article, which includes somebody else's description of my views, incorrectly describes the reasons manually checking ballots is an essential security safeguard, and includes some incorrect numbers to boot. Let me set the record straight about what I and other leading election security experts have actually been saying to the campaign and everyone else who's willing to listen." So he starts by talking or asking about whether or not a foreign government could actually hack America's voting machines. And this leads to, a theory about how they might spread some malware into the machines to work during the election and then erase its, evidence. So he asks, "Could anyone be brazen enough to try such an attack? A few years ago, I might have said that sounds like science fiction, but 2016 has seen unprecedented cyber attacks aimed at interfering with the election. This summer, attackers broke into the email system of the Democratic National Committee and separately into the email account of John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman, and leaked private messages. Attackers infiltrated the voter registration systems of two states, Illinois and Arizona, and stole voter data. And there's evidence that hackers attempted to breach election offices in several other states. In all these cases, federal agencies publicly asserted that senior officials in the Russian government commissioned these attacks. Russia has sophisticated cyber offensive capabilities and has shown a willingness to use them to hack elections. In 2014, during the presidential election in Ukraine, attackers linked to Russia sabotaged the country's vote counting infrastructure and, according to published reports, Ukrainian officials succeeded only at the last minute in defusing vote-stealing malware that was primed to cause the wrong winner to be announced. Russia is not the only country with the ability to pull off such an attack on American systems. Most of the world's military powers now have sophisticated cyber warfare capabilities." So were this year's deviations from pre-election polls the results of a cyber attack? And here's where it gets the gist of the point. Probably not. "I believe the most likely explanation is that the polls were systematically wrong rather than the election was hacked. But I don't believe that either one of these seemingly unlikely explanations is overwhelmingly more likely than the other." Now, it's interesting because the website Red State is concentrated on the first part of that, but not the second. They're concentrating on the fact that he issued this response saying that it's more likely the polls were systematically wrong, ignoring that this guy is saying, hey, both of these are unlikely, but neither one is more unlikely than the other. And he says, the only way to know whether a cyber attack changed the result is to closely examine the available physical evidence, paper ballots and voting equipment in critical states like Wisconsin, Michigan and Pennsylvania. Unfortunately, nobody is ever going to examine that evidence unless candidates in those states act now in the next several days to petition for recounts. He also points out that there's serious cybersecurity problems with America's voting machines. Numerous peer-reviewed papers and studies have been pointing out for years that they are subject to malware. He's done it in the lab, as a matter of fact. And he says it also doesn't matter whether or not they're on the internet or not, because they all can be infected by removable media, like a a memory card or a USB drive that they load the software onto. And why hasn't more been done about this? Well, because money, costs, and so forth. Every state has its own elections system. And some of these places are more reticent to want to have voter-verified paper trails than others. California has banned these computer voting machines, but other states are still using them. Now, the best possible technique we could use? Paper ballots. Paper ballots. He says we use two kinds of paper system, either a ballot paper that gets scanned, optical scan voting, or a computer that counts the vote and prints the record on a piece of paper called a voter verified paper audit trail. Either way, the paper creates a record of the vote that can't be later modified by any bugs, misconfiguration, or malicious software that might have infected the machines. After the election, human beings can examine the paper to make sure the results from the voting machines accurately determined who won. Now, we need to do this. We need to get voter-verified paper trails in all of our voting systems in this country. It seems just obvious, doesn't it? Like, would you trust ATMs that didn't give receipts? Doesn't matter whether you actually want the receipt, but if it didn't have that option, would that be a problem for you? Why is something as important as our vote not backed up with a paper trail, not backed up with a receipt? That's just obscene. And we're talking about these elections that are really close. The margin in Wisconsin right now is 0.7%. In Pennsylvania, they're at 1.2%, and Michigan, 0.3%. Time to take a look at this stuff and I'm not holding any illusions this is going to change anything, right? That it's going to result in Trump not being president and Hillary Clinton becoming president. No, that's not the point, though. The point is that we need to have a serious look at how we vote in this country and deal with these electronic machines. This is not something that should be a partisan issue. It shouldn't be Republican or Democrat. This should be something where we all recognize that our democracy is important enough to have a receipt. And it's not like we can't do it. Canada does this. Canada votes completely through a paper system, hand-counted paper system. Now, I know we've got 10 times the people, but we can do this. This is important. We need to make so many changes to our electoral system. Hell, if it were up to me, it'd be an all vote by mail system. We've got it all going on here in Oregon, Washington, Colorado. You get your ballot mailed to you. It's one of them optical scan things. You fill out the little bubbles, put it in an envelope, you mail it in, it gets scanned, and that paper is retained. There is a paper trail. We can actually verify our vote counts if we have to. You don't have to worry about standing in some long line, about too few polling places to make it worth your time. You don't have to worry about taking time off work to have to go vote. You get this document, you get this full page voter guide, 70, 90 page voter guide comes to you in the mail. You can take your time reading through every initiative and every candidate, make an intelligent, informed decision with your vote. And it really breaks my heart the extent to which we go to try to deny people the vote. you know, the Voting Rights Act, the major provisions of the Voting Rights Act that were protecting a lot of the southern states from the voting shenanigans they try to do. This was the first election where that wasn't in effect. And we saw more voting shenanigans. We saw too few polling places. People having to stand in line 6, 7, 8 hours to vote. On a Tuesday, people who have to turn to their boss and say, "Hey, boss, I can't come in on Tuesday. I got to go vote." A lot of people can't do that. That's why we see less diligence toward the issues of poverty, working class issues in this country, because we've systematically made it harder for those people to exercise their vote. They got to work. They got to go get on shift. Why we can't be like every other civilized nation and have our vote take place on a weekend or make it a federal holiday. You know why we've got it on a Tuesday? You know why we vote on a Tuesday, by the way? Because back in like the 18th century, when they wanted to call for a vote, that call had to go out to people that were in the remote hinterlands of the early colonies, and they had to ride horses, and it took that long to get back into town. So you couldn't have your vote on a Monday, because that would make people have to ride their horses on a Sunday. And the Sunday is the Lord's Day, so we can't be riding across the country. So that's why we vote on Tuesdays, was to give people that day, Monday, to ride their horses across the colonies to make it in time for a vote. There's no logical reason to keep that anymore. Voting on a Tuesday makes no sense. Do it like Oregon. Vote by mail. Have the vote take place on a weekend, the official election day on a weekend. Make it easier for people to vote. Did you know North Dakota is the only state where you don't have to register to vote? In North Dakota, you can show up. You don't even have to have a picture ID, although they ask for one. But there was a court case that ruled they don't even have to have that. If you can get someone to sign an affidavit that says you are a valid North Dakota resident, you just show up and vote. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, an Alzheimer drug fails its test. It wasn't cannabis-based, I can tell you that.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Forwarding the cause of legalization and research of the growing cannabis industry, one podcast at a time. The Cannabis Radio Network.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Voober vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Voober vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Voober way.
July 1st, 2015, adult marijuana prohibition came to an end in Oregon. Immediately, over 400,000 adults who consume cannabis responsibly were no longer criminals. This is what freedom sounds like. Brought to you by Portland Normal.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We need to build a wall.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Just 4 minutes left as we hit the top of the hour here. And a reminder, no show tomorrow because, hey, it's Thanksgiving, damn it. I get to have Thanksgiving, too. So no show tomorrow or Friday, but we'll be back on Monday with more new live radicalness. Also want to follow up, you know, we were talking about, somebody asked about t-shirts yesterday, about whether or not there'd be a Russ Belville Show t-shirt, and I think we'll have one, and I think it'll be the Reefer Radicals t-shirt. I think that's what we're going to call it. That's what I've decided you are, dear listener. You're a Reefer Radical. That's what we're going to be, and it'll be Reefer Radical. Don't bullshit me, I look shit up. I don't know. We'll figure something out, but thanks for the suggestion. I really quick wanted to cover this story about pharmaceutical giant Eli Lilly, you know, the big pharma company. Their stock has fallen 11.7%, and they had a 15% plunge before that. Their stock has fallen because of new results in one of their phase 3 clinical trials for an Alzheimer drug. And this drug is called, oh, let me see. It's, you know, these drugs, they all sound like you just took a bunch of Scrabble tiles and kind of threw them out randomly. What is, I got to find the name of the damn thing. It's like Solizumab. Solizumab. Where is it? Where is the damn thing? Drat. Yeah, the Solanezumab. Solanezumab. Isn't that Beyonce's sister? No. Solanezumab. Okay. So this drug, they did not have any significant slowing of their cognitive decline in phase 3 trials as compared to placebo. So this new drug by Eli Lilly is tanking, and this has kind of killed its stock. It's dropped quite a bit. And the thing that's kind of cracks me up about this is here they are dying with this solanezumab. And as early, this is their spokesperson, says, as far back as 2012, we've said solanezumab was a very high-risk program that was likely to fail. But despite the failed test, Eli Lilly has, quote, strong growth prospects without solanezumab. And it just kills me because we've seen such promise with cannabis in halting, slowing the cognitive decline of Alzheimer's patients. The answer is staring us right in the face. Eli Lilly, if it wanted to make a ton of money, could give up on salamas, blah, 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 and just move on to cannabis if it were legal to study and research. Oh, well, what's a few hundred thousand Alzheimer's patients, right? That's all the time we got for this day and this week. We hope you have a great Thanksgiving holiday here in the United States. For our listeners internationally, have a great Thursday. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it.